It's time to get organized this new year with Menards. Update your closet system and add style today with Closet Culture. Choose from two closet finishes and four colors of shelf boards to create a functional yet stylish closet solution that matches your home decor. Check out all our Closet Culture closet kits or view our weekly flyer on Menards.com to see all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey Baltimore, this episode we have Feather and Flask in the Lounge, a folk groove band out of Havre de Grace. They've got jam energy, deep harmonies, they host a local open mic night, and they've been making moves around the Maryland music scene, playing at venues like Stages Music and Arts and Elkton Music Hall. We'll talk about their local roots, band life, and what's fueling their sound lately. And don't go anywhere after the conversation, they're playing five live tracks you'll definitely want to hear. Oh yeah! Welcome, Baltimore. Another episode of Sanity Lounge. Here we have a band that I kind of first started talking to you like last summer.
Mm-hmm.
We have Feather and Flask. We have Shelby. We have Jack. We have Lisa, and we have Chad. We just saw them play. You guys will have to wait till the end, unless you fast forward, which we don't like when you do that.
Yeah, don't do that.
But you guys were, you met and exceeded my expectations of what you would be.
Yes.
You guys are my kind of music. You remind me of like bands we used to see back in the day at the bank.
Right.
If you guys are familiar with that place.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was literally a bank that was just gutted, and they just had live music there. This was like
it was in downtown
mid-90s. Yeah, downtown.
That sounds awesome.
But there was a band called Splintered Sunlight that we used to see like every single
week.
Who
are still around?
They're still
I believe.
Active, yes.
Yeah, but
so,
I don't know.
Deep Banana Blackout.
Deep Banana Blackout. So yeah, yep. Welcome guys. Welcome
Thank you.
To
Thank
the
you.
Show.
Yeah, you guys are right up our alley. I'm so excited to meet you. I had heard you guys on Spotify, never seen you in person or live, so it was wonderful. And I'm going to start with Miss Lisa because
I knew he was going to
I'm not exactly sure if you've gotten the memo, but I am a deep dive drum kind of guy, and you show up with this styling set that is unique. And so talk to me about that, if you would, please.
Yeah. So I use a pan drum. It's tuned to A.R. Kane scale.
Mm.
It sits in a wicker basket. That's a llama.
Oh, right.
And it's just a wicker basket from Target that happened to just perfectly hold the pan drum. It was two separate things.
Hold on. And it's my fault. Let me back up here real quick. Talk to me about your history with the instrument. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, wow. Well, my dad is a drummer, actually.
Okay.
Yeah. So I started sitting on his lap playing, believe it or not, Under the Table and Dreaming by Dave Matthews Band.
Wow.
I was a big Carter Beaufort gal at like age three, sitting on his lap, and he would hold my hands and we'd, you know, mess around. So it started there. And then my mom she was a music teacher. So I've been surrounded by music my whole life. My uncle was also the director of the Congressional Chorus in Washington, D.C. So he would do like the tree lighting ceremonies and all that stuff.
Right.
But, yeah, drums was actually not my first instrument. I started with the violin, and then I moved to piano, and then I was a dancer. So I've always had rhythm
and did
groove.
You stick with, like, pianos? Like, are you an accomplished or, like,
yeah, I can play, yeah.
Wow. Okay,
yeah, I can
good
play
for you.
What kind of dancer?
A ballerina.
Really?
Yeah, I was a ballerina.
Not now, though.
No, not now.
Can you still do it?
Too old. Oh, sure, yeah.
Like, you could get up on your toes?
Oh, yeah.
Like, right now.
Yeah, you would do it right
crazy.
Now.
Easy
do it right
well.
Now. There you go.
That's
the pizza.
Exclusive.
Right on the tippy toes. Yeah. You never
it's
lose
impressive.
It.
Yeah.
But yeah, like rhythm and groove was just kind of always there
right.
for me. And when I was a teenager, I got back into drums. I actually did jazz drum lessons, was like where I started. And then I just kind of ventured off on my own from there.
And then back to the kit, you kind of, did you piecemeal that together?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Were you like, this is what I want?
Nope,
I want.
It all just kind of unfolded.
Wow. I love that.
Yeah.
Did you just keep adding things like one by one?
Yeah.
And then you added something and removed something?
Yeah.
Now, full cool. disclosure, you and Mr. Jack here are married, correct?
Yep.
Right? Okay, so good deal for those at home, just yeah. so you know. That,
to each you know, other.
Right, to each other, yeah. to be clear.
To be clear, right.
To each other. Now, Jack, you know, have a saucy style to yourself. You remind, you guys, the whole band is, you know, and this is a good thing, is like a Roots Dead type band, but you have a little rust in
oh, yeah, yeah.
You've got a little, you know, uniqueness. And
but
so,
your own thing.
Like right, so what's your history with this kind of music, like? When you were growing up, what was your musical influences?
Oh, well, that's weird, because I didn't really start listening to my own music until I was pretty much in high school, but my dad collected 45s.
Oh, yeah, right.
Because he's like, well, I don't want to, you know, if I don't like all the songs in the album, why would I buy the whole album? So, like, I just grew up listening to, like, all of his favorite things that he picked, you know, throughout the years. And then... yeah, like, I don't really have any musicians in my family. My great-grandfather, he played ukulele, but that's about it. And
but what was you, like, musically, what were you into, like, when you were in high school?
Oh, in high school? Well, my first love was, like, My Morning Jacket.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then, like, all the indie, like, the whole indie rock, like, revival thing, like, started happening when I started, when I was going to high school. So, like, Flea Foxes, Band of Horses.
Nice.
Let's see what else, you know, like, the Grateful Dead and...
I should also mention here that me and Jack have a bit of a interesting history.
Oh, yeah?
Wait, real quick, let me just tell you this. For those listening, this band pulls up, and this cat Jack gets out of the car, and Woe Davis says, hey, I haven't seen you since I...
No, he got out and said, it's been 10 years.
But since you... Crash.
Well, yeah, since I rear-ended the Porsche.
Since I rear-ended the Porsche. I said, holy shit.
Sprinter Gramophone Mercedes.
It's incredible.
So me and Jack worked together at Gramophone. We installed home theaters and shit together.
Mm-hmm. That's
awesome.
But what I've been meaning to ask you, the fact that you're here probably means that I wasn't, but was I a dick?
No.
Because I was a dick to a lot of my
guys. No.
Jack, what
did
he say?
I think me and you were like the only... I think me and you got along, and I think you're like the only one that I got along with at that entire, other than the other guys, like Rich and those guys.
Yeah.
So look,
like the dudes that worked with me.
You guys are on your way here, and he goes, I used to work with this guy. I'm like, well, were you a dick to him? Because I know that he can be like a dick. And he goes, I don't think so.
I was like, we got along.
And
I'm out of that shit.
But
anyway,
as far as the guitar goes, though, Jack, when did you start playing the guitar?
When I was 15.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, I tried playing drums because my best friend growing up, he was in like jazz drum class and stuff, and mm-hmm. I was like, I want to try to play something. So I tried playing drums, and like, no, that does not work for me. But then my aunt bought me a guitar, and I started taking lessons up at Hunt Valley Music, and yeah, I took lessons there pretty much before I started working at Gramophone.
Yeah, yeah, I remember you were doing, I think you were doing some, like, open mic things when you worked there.
Yep.
And vocally, did you always sing, or were you just...
No, so after, like, maybe, like, a year and a half, 2 years of playing guitar, my teacher was like, I guess he just saw something, and he's like, have you ever tried singing? I'm like, no. And so I took, like, some vocal lessons and then, like, started singing, and then... That, like, took over. I was like, well, I can play rhythm guitar and chords, and I know all that stuff, but, like, I was like, oh, I want to, like, pursue singing more. So that kind of became my musical interest, and I tried to hone that as well as I could and started
nice.
Going to open mic nights when I was, like, 17, up at High Tops. So they'd be like, you can't come in. I'm like, I'm not going to drink. Just let me play, you know? And I just kept going and going, and, yeah, that's kind of how it happened.
Nice.
They still have those. Like, when we were just in High Tops not long ago, and they were setting up for their open mic night.
Right.
Yeah, Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Yep. So, Miss Shelby, let's talk about your history with the instrument.
Well, bass, I decided I was going to start playing bass when I saw them playing together as a duo at a little brewery out, what was it, like Westminster? Some German bar. And I was just sitting there, and I'm like, they need bass. So I bought a bass online.
They need bass.
They need that. So I got my first bass, but I got little hands. So then I decided full scale, maybe not yet. So I got a little, what I play now, it's like a 28-inch scale.
But wait, hold on, Miss Shelby. You played an instrument before.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, what do you mean? You just decided you wanted to play bass?
What did you play?
I played guitar first. I remember being 3 years old listening to the Beatles One compilation in the car with my mom, and it just created such vivid pictures, and I just fell in love. I felt, like, swallowed whole by the thing. So all I wanted to do was play guitar along to the songs. So when I was 14, I got a guitar and started learning that. And then I was like, they need bass. So I bought a bass.
Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Chad.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you, I'm going to read you my note as I'm watching you guys. I wrote, Guitar Guy Chad, Tasty Licks.
Tasty Licks. Oh, yeah. Hold on.
The most reasonable volume guitar guy I've ever heard in my life.
We worked really hard to get there.
I'm serious.
It's been a journey.
I've never in my life. Like, and I'm not saying that as a pejorative. Like, I'm saying that as, like, I've never, like, you're doing tasty shredding with nice tone, and it's not, you know, overwhelming.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah, and for a minute, I'm like, is that Wheel? Wheel's a great producer, but it also has to be, you know, your control. And so, kudos, man.
Thanks, man. Like,
yeah, really appreciate unique that. Style.
I get that now that you say that.
Yeah, because it was weird. I
100% agree.
And it's perfect for the whole style of the band because it's that roots rock vibe. She's got the whole, you know, the drums a little bit off center. It's a little bit, you know, lower end. So you guys got to keep your volume under control. And it's perfect. I mean, I really dug it, dude.
Thanks, man.
So what are your influences guitar-wise?
I guess we're really, Jay Garcia is probably the number one.
Nice.
You know, I got into that. I was a big, like, rap guy kind of when I was...
I can tell.
When I was, like, in the 7th, 8th grade, you know, and then into high school. And I heard a String Cheese Incident.
Nice.
And I was like, wow, this is really cool stuff. Like, what are they doing? You know, it doesn't seem like they're planning any of this. What is it? And I realized, you know, it was kind of improv, and I sort of got sucked into that. When I was at that concert, kind of tailgating and stuff, there's this hippie walking around with CDs of Grateful Dead shows, you know, like Dick's Picks that were like burned CDs and things like that. So I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. Started digging into that big time. And then I went over to Spain, lived there my junior year, and I had, like, you know, a CD case of music. And this
why?
Was, a foreign exchange student.
Kind nice. Of thing.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, as one does, you just go to Spain.
The opportunity presented itself.
Yeah, well, that's
I was
fun.
Like, let's
so, wait, did you know, like, let's hover there for a second.
You
like,
went and lived with a family.
I lived with a host family.
In
a
foreign country when you were in 11th grade.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
did you know the language?
I knew as much as, you know, as a sophomore, you know, like wow. Spanish 2 or whatever it was. I think I got like a B-, barely. So,
zero.
Not much, but you learn a lot once you're there and stuff, and you're like immersed in the culture.
Right, that had to be a wild experience.
It was one of the best years, in my life. But while I was there, I had like a CD case of music. I didn't have much to go on, but I had all those Grateful Dead CDs.
Nice.
And so I just was like constantly listening to it. And I didn't play guitar at that point, and got back my senior year, and I noticed a lot of my friends had kind of picked up the guitar, and they were, you know, like, doing some pretty cool songs, playing, like, Dave Matthews Band, things like that, and I was like, this is really cool, I want to, like, try this out, and, just kind of started plucking away and playing with friends, and one
so
thing led to another.
This is a little risky question, but how old are you cats? Like, let's go down the
I'm
line.
The oldest. I'm 39. I just turned 39.
39, you're the oldest. Miss Lisa?
I'll be 38 next week.
All right, you look wonderful, sir.
33.
All right, Miss Shelby?
26.
All right.
Yeah, that's a wide range.
Yeah, that is a wide range.
It is,
I mean, that's awesome, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I love that, how you came to the guitar at a late age, and your Jerry, I mean, that goes back to the lick thing. It's just tasty, you know, very Jerry-esque licks.
Thanks,
now
man.
That you mention it.
So, tell me, how did you guys, how long have you guys known each other? Have you been friends for a while? I guess I'm going on with the origins of the band. How did you come up and get together? I know you saw them in a German bar in Westminster and decided they need bass.
So actually, me and Shelby go furthest back. Okay. We've known each other 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. 10.
I hired her at Vans. We used to work at Vans together. Oh, nice. And I hired her. And yeah, that was 10 years ago, which is really weird. Because you're 26 now, and you were 16.
I was going to say, yeah, holy shit, yeah. You were like 16. Yeah.
That was your first job?
Yeah. Wow.
Third job? Yeah.
It was up there.
Wow,
so yeah, me and her we started in like a, you know, professional relationship, but we always vibed together. Yeah. And then after we both like parted ways from that company.
Let's go to some shows, yeah.
Yeah, we started hanging out.
And had you guys had rhythmic discussions, like were you guys aware you were musicians at that point and stuff? Or
I mean, I can't help but talk about music and have it playing when like right. Doors are shut and stuff. Just be like, oh, I like that song.
Yeah,
cool. Nice.
Yeah, like send me stuff.
Yeah. And then we met.
Yep.
How did that happen? If you don't mind.
Oh, you go ahead.
Okay. So I was I was working at this farm and. I like got hurt or whatever, so I was on workman's comp. So I was going to like the Sean Boland's open mic night. Like I was going to all the open mic nights like every day,
right?
For like months, and I'm at the Sean Boland's open mic night, and I'm playing Windshield by Green Sky Bluegrass, mm-hmm. And I see this girl in like the back near like the bathrooms in the corridor, and like she's like, go like this. I'm like, oh, someone knows this song, cool. And I finished the song or whatever, and I like wasn't drinking at the time, and I was like, all right, well, you know, I'm like, I don't see anybody here, and I'm like, well, I'll see you guys later, so maybe I'll get an early night. And I drive home, you know, it's like 20 minutes. My parents live in Phoenix, Maryland.
Did she follow you?
So no. Meanwhile, on his drive home, he got up and played that song, which is like my favorite song by Green Sky Bluegrass. I love it so much, and I turned to Harry, the bartender, and I was like, who is that? Like, he's so gifted, just such raw talent. And all I wanted to do was just tell him, like, what a great job he did. Because, you know, it's an open mic night. Sure. And I feel like a lot of times, like, you go out and you have the cojones to do that kind of thing, and, like, you don't
think, it's a thankless thing.
Yeah, right. People aren't paying attention or whatever. And, like, I just really was, like, very moved by his performance. I wanted to tell him. But
and you thought he was dreaming.
Yes, I did. And then I said to Harry, the bartender, and you can ask him, you just saw Harry earlier today.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I said, Harry, that's my soulmate. Who is that guy?
Wow.
I was, before I ever even spoke to him, I said, wow. that is my soulmate. I need to know who that is. What's his name? And they said, his name's Jack. Because he left, and I didn't even get to tell him, like, how great I thought he did. And I was like, I just want to find him and, like, tell him that I thought he, think he's great and keep doing what you're doing. And then, legit, the whole bar, while this man's just driving home, doesn't even know this is happening, the whole bar is like, you know, networking and crowdsourcing, trying to figure out his last name, and they're like, we got him, we found him on Facebook.
That's so funny.
That's awesome.
So yeah, I found him, and I messaged him, and I said something like, hey, I just saw you perform at open mic night, and I just wanted to tell you you're really good, and, you know, keep it up, or, you know, something just like nice and generic, but nothing crazy. And he messaged me back, and he's been messaging me back ever since.
Yeah. So how long have you been married now?
Oh, was it
28?
All right, the reason it's a difficult question is because it was a COVID wedding, so,
oh, right.
So yeah. we've had like
so
50 anniversaries.
That have, like passed by.
We've been together for like 8
yeah.
years.
Yeah, so like 6 married, no, 7 years married. Yeah.
5.
Do you know what day?
It was April 23rd, 2020.
Yeah, we had multiple dates, and then COVID like happened the week of our wedding, and we were like, well, God, we have to like, when are we getting married?
March 22nd, 2020 was like our original wedding date.
Wow.
That's
yeah,
such
that's
a great
crazy.
Story though. Yeah. Like what a great fucking tale. Like, yeah, you know, I mean, that's good shit.
It gets even weirder because when I first met Lisa, we hung out like the next day, and I was like, I knocked on her door. I drove out to Haverty Grace, and we were like hanging out. She made me some coffee, and like she was like singing, and I was like, were you at this festival in West Virginia, like? in like 2000, like what, 16 or something?
14 maybe?
14, yeah. And I realized, like, I saw Lisa play Camp Barefoot with the Nth Power. Mm. She was playing violin and singing with them. And I have this vivid memory that this girl I was dating at the time, like, we were both watching her play and we're like, wow, she's like really good. And like, I saw her first like big gig, like ever.
And you didn't know, right?
Yeah, before we like even met, and we actually were at the similar shows like throughout like this time. So
we were
then
both
it, like,
at Marcus King New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
and that was like 2 weeks before we met.
Yeah,
that has soulmate vibes.
Yeah, man,
100%.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
Yeah, I love that kind of shit.
It's crazy. I was like, oh, whoa.
Right.
So where did you come from?
Actually the best part of the story.
All right.
Because I don't know if you've noticed his accent, but yeah. He is not from Balmer.
I don't know.
I'm from Wisconsin originally. I lived in Chicago and worked there, corporate guy, insurance for like 10-11 years.
I love this.
And so like it was over COVID. I started this sort of like wonder what I was doing at this job that I hated. So quit basically, and long story short, and spent that summer kind of soul searching, figuring out what my next move was going to be.
Right.
Had a house to sell still and things like that, but I went to a festival in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, a Goose concert.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like a Goose, like 2 or 3 day festival with a couple friends, and I didn't know these guys. Jack had purchased some merch, like lot merch. My old friend made lot merch for Goose, and you ordered something, and like we got to talking, and you said that you played music and you were there with your wife, and so I was like, hey, can I bring my guitar down later and jam with you guys? So, you know, we're by the campfire later, jamming and kind of clicking, and it's seeming like it's, you know, like...
Now, had you been in a... You came to the guitar your senior year or whatever. This is corporate. You were a corporate raider for 10 years or whatever. At this point, had you played in many bands or anything?
No,
like
never.
That?
Right. Was never in a band, jammed with friends.
Nice.
Mostly, like, for, like, the 3 or 4 years, like, when I turned about 30, I got pretty serious into, like, wanting to learn more of the theory and not just, you know, and like singing songs. But then I was like, I kind of like doing lead stuff. So I had like a pedal that I would have, you know, a little looper pedal. And then like I ended up getting like a drum pad because I didn't have a drummer.
Right.
So I had my one man band in my basement. And but then I met these guys and, you know, I'm like, oh, he can sing and play guitar. And she's killing it on the... You had your pan drum, and your buffalo drum.
She's killing it on the llama.
The llama didn't exist yet. It was still forming at that time.
Well,
right?
I couldn't bring it to Wisconsin.
That's what it was. But so we jammed by the fire, and like I looked up at one point, and there was kind of a lot of people there, enjoying themselves. It seemed like, I'm like, this seemed like a really good fit. I don't know. We just clicked. It just meshed like from the get go. And I'm like, well, I'm sort of transient coming up here soon. Once I sell my house, I got to come visit you guys and we should jam. And so a couple months later, ended up selling the place and put all my stuff in storage besides like what I could fit in my Volvo. And drove out to Maryland from Chicago to visit. And
he's holy
still
shit.
Here.
And I never left.
And that's like, a great fucking
that is
I love you guys. What a great story, man.
The crazy thing though is that they had a roommate that was moving out and my Airbnb expired like the day before he moved out. The room was all of a sudden open and I was like, well, let's if you'll have me, right. Let's do this, awesome. And then we just kind of started jamming. And
yeah, see, that's even some old school hippie ass shit the way that you know what I'm saying? I'm serious, you know, like you can't, you know, there are people like I was in a Grateful Dead cover band in Florida in 2000, and like we walked the walk, baby. Like we got raided and we went to jail. Like it was like we were in it, but like it was a real thing. Like it all came together. It felt real. We created a real scene. you know, everybody was there not for monetary reasons, but because it just felt right until I fucked it up. It wasn't anybody else. It was me. But I love that you guys are doing it right, you know, and you're keeping it going. Because everybody, I just feel like that vibe, I mean, Goose, so you're a Goose guy?
I'm a Goose guy, yeah.
The three of us are.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there's one person not 100%
sold. Okay, that's all right, that's
all right. I know, I would be there with you. I haven't gone down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I mean,
I haven't seen him.
Well, full disclosure, I haven't seen him either. We're old fucks, like, we've seen the dead with Jerry a few times.
What's that?
You know, we've seen a lot of fish.
When is that?
It's June 15th, 16th.
No, I think we're going to the beach.
I was gonna say I got damn gigs all the time. That's the problem,
you know.
Yeah, it is good, but it's also shitty when you like other bands because it's hard to get out and see other bands.
Yeah, I'm not in a band, so I can go out and see bands. He can't.
Right.
But I go see his band, so he sees me.
Right. But he always comes to the lounge, and it's like, we got to get these people, we got these, you know. And then I'm always enthralled because he's got good taste.
You know? Yeah. Like I said, you guys were great. You guys exceeded my expectations.
Yeah, it was phenomenal. Yeah. And we had Whiskey Feathers in here.
Yeah,
so there's a feather.
Oh, yeah. Those are our homies.
There's a feather motif.
Yeah, we've done shows with them.
Yeah.
It just seems right. Yeah. I mean, why, you know, because they're the roots rock kind of vibe as well, you know. You guys should
Those guys are great.
Yeah.
The first song I heard, because they play Enchanted on TMD. But that's one of my favorite songs, period. Like, I told Britton, I was like, dude, it's not just my favorite, like, local song. But I kind of feel that way about your song, Electric Blue. It's like, it's great.
Yeah, when you were playing that, he's like, I love this song.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, they were all great. And they're also, I found, so do you write the lyrics?
I write everything.
Jack, nice. So you got the Odyssey thing going, and I dig it. But it seems like each song is a bit of a journey. You know what I mean? Like, they all have different kind of sections.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's perfect.
Thank you.
Now, let me ask, so you got something?
No, go ahead.
All right. Okay, so Miss Lisa.
I know you haven't asked her enough yet.
I haven't, I know. And this might get a little weirdo, and I'm going to try to keep it as concise as possible, but I don't know if you've watched any of this show, but like, I'm very into like ancient drumming and the history of drumming and psychedelics and women and drumming and psychedelics and stuff like that.
Seven of our episodes have been just drummers.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, and
he likes focusing on the whole show was supposed to be just drummers.
Right.
Always. All drummers.
Initially, it was a dream of mine to go deep in, because I want to try to talk about drumming in a different light, kind of like UFC took martial arts and made it kind of all of a sudden everybody realized that we were all the same and you have to know a little bit of every style and, you know, that kind of thing. It's the same thing with drumming, but more importantly, drumming is the oldest instrument and there's a lot of history pre-Christian that talks about women being the first drummers. And so, you know, when I see like the kind of primal type setup that you have and the visceral vibe that you're throwing out, plus the roots rock, you know, link that you all have, it always makes me beg the question if you are aware of that history. Like, I mean, if you know, you feel it, but have you looked into that?
So I didn't know all of that, but I did know a good bit of it. And it's funny because just yesterday, somebody was asking me, like, you know, you like so much different kind of music. Like, what is it you think is the thread?
Right.
And I said, honestly, at the end of the day, I really like tribal shit. Like, and right. Because like Chad, I have deep roots in hip hop. Like, I love hip hop. And a lot of grooves really have influenced me from that genre. But I take it kind of from everywhere. But that is kind of the overarching theme of things that I like. Like, I really like that driving, like, tribal kind of feeling. And I think it works well with Jack's songwriting, too.
It does.
Because I feel like I'm going to be, like, the self-proclaimed type 2 person of the group. Like, I feel like like for our song Driver, for example, which we didn't play today, but it's up on Spotify. There's a whole section of that that like didn't exist, and it actually stemmed from Chad hitting what he thought was a wrong note, and I said, no, stop. I said, do that again. Play it again. And I was like, keep playing it. Play it over and over and over again. And it turned, we now had like a whole second like jam movement of that song that we play as a result of it. So I feel like that's sort of my contribution and like how I work that tribal element.
Yeah, you do have a very tribal linear style playing. Like it's very primal and tribal. It's a good description of it.
Yeah.
Look, if you read, you know, for leisure, I'm sure you read, but the book's called When the Drummers Were Women, and it's by Lane Redmond.
It's a good book.
And it's cool. You know, it's pretty shocking. I mean, it's not, but it's fascinating. And, you know, for many years, I've been into psychedelics and drums, and I always felt like there was a there was a heavier there, mm-hmm. and there is. Yeah. And so I'm just saying, like, keep, you know, go down that rabbit hole and you'll be very pleased.
And you'll find that asshole men ran them out.
I know. It's crazy. Like, when the Christian church first got started. Now, keep in mind, we love Christianity. We love religion. We're fine with everybody. Like, we don't want to. But interestingly enough, when the Catholic Church and the church organized itself after 300 years after Christ died, they didn't allow women to be in the church or lead the church, and they didn't allow drums in the church. And that's why ancient church music is always organs and, you know, beautiful stuff, because drums were relegated to the battlefield and women were relegated to the sideline, because pre-Christianity, women and drums were part of the spiritual froth that made you that made you link with the gods. It's the Eleusinian Mysteries. Mm-hmm. If you look into that stuff, it's that kind of stuff. Well, the Eleusinian Mysteries,
that
whole thing is, I mean, you know, there's a book called The Immortality Key by Brian Marescu.
And read that.
Well, look, we've contacted him. Like, I told him, like, he sent me a PDF about ancient shamanism in Siberia.
That's so cool.
Yeah, because listen, the Kukian and the Minad women behind the walls of Ulysses, or whatever the hell you call it. You know, I say they have frame drums. They have to. Like, if, you know, if those ceremonies went off the way that we think they did, and the women ran those ceremonies, they were definitely frame drummers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it's like, that fascinates me. I mean, I love, you know, and then the idea that the drums came, you know, from all these tribes, you know, the tree goes down to hell, up to heaven, you cut it, you use the skin of the yak, but, you know, and then you figure out your spiritualism. I don't know. So
Brian's very passionate about this.
I'm
subject.
Sorry.
He's got to be involved in it too a little bit. It is fascinating.
I really do feel like if people pay attention to rhythm, it's the most important thing of all time. Yeah. Your heartbeats, the big bang, the rhythm of the room, take your pick. You followed the rhythms down here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, Miss Shelby was like, they need bass. You know?
I proclaimed it.
Yeah, I'm saying, but you could tell. You know, and you felt the rhythm that night with my man Jack. You were like, holy shit. You know?
Yeah, they're all about
what a gift. The
rhythm. I'm telling you.
Every aspect of it.
So I'm sorry. I get rolling, but that's why when you came in with this kind of primal setup, I'm like, I love this.
Yeah.
Like,
I knew you would.
Well, my ultimate, like, number one favorite drummer on earth, past, future, present, is Nikki Glaspie.
Wow.
So she is just a huge, huge inspiration to me. I just saw her on Jam Cruise. She played with Snarky Puppy. She plays with everybody, and she's just so incredible. She's played with Beyonce. Like, you know, she's an absolute beast, and she can sing. And
did you go on Jam Cruise?
Oh, yeah. I go every year.
Holy shit.
Go every year.
Hey, so do you know who we were getting in here is Kendall Street Company.
Oh, yeah. They're coming on for their first time.
I know. Well, that's why I made you think about it. Yeah, but the bass player and the drummer,
we went down the Union Stage a couple months ago and saw them and talked to them. And they were, then they were playing at 8x10. Like, that later that week, they're like, we can do the show, like, we'll do that and then go do the show at 8x10, and we couldn't do it that day. And now they're on tour, but we talk to them all the time. Like, they're going to come up. They're great. That was the first, he got me into them recently, and now I'm like, obsessed.
I just love, like, it's like you got, like, just the scene. I need the scene.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah.
And, like, you know, they're a spectacle, and they've got a scene going. And Natalie Brooke Band.
Yeah.
We're trying to get them in here. I got Nathan, the drummer, coming in next Monday.
Yeah.
But all that's to say, I love you guys.
Yeah.
I think you guys are great. What it is.
So tell me, but I haven't really seen an acoustic bass before. So what's up with, why did you go that route?
Just because of the fretboard. Short, yeah.
They don't make electric short.
I'm not that big of a fan. They do, but they're hard to come by.
Right.
I got one not that long ago. It's definitely a little bit longer, so I'm still trying to get used to it. But because I'm not that big of a fan of how it sounds, but I get a lot of compliments on it.
You're not a big fan of how that sounds?
Yeah.
She's totally. That sounded pretty good in the headphones. I was like, oh,
you know,
I wouldn't have guessed you would
but
say
that.
But
to be clear, you usually use, like, that's what you play with when you guys play out.
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, nobody asked, but in my opinion, I think it works perfect for, like, if you had a, you know, like, it just seems to work perfect because she's got the earthy drum, and so it's more.
It's not it doesn't stand out or anything. It meshes in well, and I love how it feels.
Well, that he was sitting in here and he was going, I think you were on your second song, and he was like, or no, maybe they hadn't started. They just did, and you were like, they don't have no bass, huh?
Yeah, no, they were like, setting up, and I'm going, they don't have acoustics. And he goes, that's a bass. And I was like, holy shit, But yeah, you hadn't played yet.
So, and you guys, do you still host an open mic night?
Yes, we do that as our community service for Haverty Grace. It's every second and fourth Thursday at Market Street Brewery.
Nice. What time?
6:30, and we do theme nights and stuff, just like on Jam Cruise. So every week it's a weird, wacky theme.
And wait a minute, where is that?
Market Street Brewery.
In Haverty Grace.
Yep.
And that's not that far from me. I'm gonna start getting up there.
It's super fun.
And the people that play are so incredibly gifted.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, it is unbelievable, the talent.
Yeah.
The talent
is insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, some in the water. Crazy.
Even just last week, there was a guy, Seguin, who's been like popping up all over open mics.
Was he from DC?
Yeah, that guy.
He's great. So,
Seguin?
He plays piano and sings like an angel. And I mean, the room was silent in the best way. You know, like just one of those people that captures your everyone was just like enthralled with it, hanging on every note, every word. It was really, really cool. But it's awesome that, like, we have a place where
we live.
So
do you guys get
that
up and jam with them too? Or you so it's just, you guys host it and you're up there and people just come up and
We have a singing bowl, and it's not like we do a list or anything. We have it by random. So it's kind of like Kill Tony. Like, you throw your name in the bowl and then we do it by random. So
some people might not get picked that night.
No, everybody gets picked.
Everybody gets picked.
Yeah, depending on how many names are in the bowl in the beginning, we're like, all right, we're doing two songs or three songs tonight, but everybody plays. But it's always at random.
Nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. No list.
Keep everybody on their toes.
Drama. Right, right.
Yeah.
And do you also teach, like, I guess, gardening?
Oh, yeah, I work. I've been in horticulture my whole life until I worked at Gramophone and stuff. I worked at Valley View for a while.
Why did you take that break and work for Gramophone?
Because my girlfriend at the time was like, you gotta, like, get, like, you gotta go to school or something. She was, like, going to school to be, like, a psychiatrist or whatever. But
I feel like I may remember these.
Oh, yeah, I probably, like, complained to you a lot about it. For sure I did. I'm still dating when I knew you. But, yeah, But I was like, all right, I guess, and Sheffield was right down the street, which I was grateful I went, because the guy at Sheffield who was my teacher, he was like in the NSA, and he was like saying some wild stuff.
He's dead now.
He's dead now.
So,
wow. But he was saying some interesting things that I was like, all right, this is pretty cool, and you know, and I got all A's, and I was like, I can do math. I had sucked at math in high school, but I was like, oh, I got like, I can do algebra. I'm like, all right, but yeah, and then I worked for Chesapeake Home Theaters for a while, and then I was like, I'm gonna leave this, and I worked for Gramophone for a while, but Gramophone made me realize like I wanted to do music.
Yeah.
Cause we had that Nashua trip, mm-hmm. and like we went through the whole thing, and like at the end of the week, like we went to like open mic night. I was like, oh, there's open mic night here, and I hadn't picked up my guitar in like maybe like 7 or 8 months, and I played Red House, and the teacher was there, and after he saw me play, he was like, why aren't you doing this? And I didn't have an answer for him, and then I was like, I think I'm gonna quit my job and pursue this, mm-hmm. and I did, and it's been, yeah, I'm here now.
So. Good for
yeah,
you.
That's awesome, yeah.
Again, you followed the fucking rhythms, and you know.
Yeah, it wasn't because you were a dick.
Right. I'm so happy about that because I really was worried about that. I mean,
no, I've been kind of following you since then. Like I've been keeping tabs.
Yeah, and you know, to his credit, he was like, I don't think I was. But you know,
no, my problem is I'm not a dick. I just like doing things myself.
Yeah.
That's all.
I get that.
And we had that vibe where he would do his own thing. I think we kind of got to the point where we would kind of start and then just meet.
Yes.
On the job, and then we'd be done and we'd go home.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like, there was no arguments.
That was my the word. I was like, I'm going to have to tell Mike I'm quitting.
And I had to quit too.
Yeah.
That place, I mean, it got odd. Like I got suspended once because they said I gave, because I
you scared a customer.
I gave, yes.
I guarantee
it. But it was justified. If I could remember the name, you would remember the guy because you were definitely, it was down in like Bethesda or something. Dude. And he was just a dick. He was real particular, had this crazy theater set up in this room with a couch, and it was Christmas fucking Eve, and I was still like there at his house, and I was just getting pissed, but I called Justin, and I was just arguing about it, but I wasn't doing it in front of the dude, but then everybody thought I was.
Right, right.
That clientele is awful.
Oh, God.
Awful.
Well, look at you now.
I know,
man. No, man, look at all of us now.
Are you good? Are you got other stuff, or what?
If I do, I can come back to it.
All right, whatever. So when we start to wrap up, we
No. I do.
Go.
Just the name, Feather and Flask. It's Feather and Flask. Like, where did that come from?
We'll let this one tell
that.
Shelby.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
You weren't even Shelby in the band.
She wasn't.
She's like, they need bass. I know. It was maybe like,
I have my band. She was on the name.
So wait a minute. When this bar she was talking about, did you have a name when you were a duo? Did you go by something?
Yeah.
What?
Feather and Flask.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Let me tell the story.
Yeah, the name came when I was taking their engagement photos out in the woods out in Haverty Grace, and Lisa had a feather and a flask in her hand, and like that day we were talking, I was like, what are we going to call it, and blah, 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 like 2 years before I even joined, and she had both in her hand, and I'm like, let's call it that, feather and flask. And
oh, wow.
That's kind of how it came. And then Dad was like, but how are they going to know who's the feather and who's the flask?
Lisa
was like, it's obvious who is who.
Yeah.
Is it?
I think so.
What do you think?
You're the flask.
No. Damn.
That's what they want you to think.
Well, you're giving me a look like, come on, dude.
I'm obviously the flask.
Right, I figured you were like, I'm obviously the flask.
The feather.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, so are you a photographer?
Yeah.
Nice.
Not like strictly, but old school, I do it when it comes to
Do you
to
do
me.
Film or like?
Yeah, I do film. I have a DSLR, but most of the stuff just comes from my phone because I don't feel like carrying stuff.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. It's the sign of the times.
Yeah.
I mean, who needs the hassle of a developing station and shit like that when you can just go...
You got 48 megapixels in your pocket. Why do anything else?
Although there are film people that are listening right now going, I'll tell you why, because of fucking art. You know. But I hear you.
Another song you played that's your newest single is Lost in Umbra.
Mm-hmm.
What is that about?
Oh, that's about surrendering to the present moment and like being like in lost in like the dark night of the soul and whatnot.
Right.
And I talked about like Datura flowers because like this, it's a flower that blooms at night and it smells like crazy, but it's also incredibly hallucinogenic.
Mm-hmm.
And you shouldn't go out there and eat those things.
What's the name of the flower?
Are you not supposed to?
No,
as a public service announcement.
Yeah, stay away from it.
You can work with it if you like. If you know some shamanistic things, but. Yeah.
Right, we got
Tikal. Know what it is?
Well, no, but I got my. We got the manuals.
Oh, so we
we'll
can
look
read
into
the manual.
Yeah. Consult your manual before.
Yeah. But I heard about it when I was like 21 working at Valley View. This guy was like, "You ever read the books of the teachings of Don Juan by Carlos Castaneda?" And I was like, "No." And like he gave me the book, and they do a ritual with a Datura plant, and they have to like take it out into the desert and like water it and grow it, and then you know until it's mature, and then harvest the roots, and they pound the roots up, and they get two lizards and sew one of its mouth shuts and one of its eyes shut, and they pound the root and they rub it on their temples, and then they divine, you know, and they're like, oh, they see the future and whatnot. It's a pretty wild book, but
that's some heavy shit.
Yeah. So that was kind of like where some of the lyrics came from, but really it was about I was like, well, I've just got to surrender to the present moment, you know.
And to be clear, the term umbra refers to dark, or it's like,
yeah, it's like the darkest dark.
Right. Okay. Yeah, I love that name. Good name.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And I just want to comment on the lyric to, I think, what was
that? Oh, yeah,
that was,
right.
That was Light On. I love the end of that song. Because you just get into it, you're saying, we are all the same, we are all the same, we are all the same, we are all insane.
Yeah.
I love it. That's just the theme of this place.
Right, and it's so, it's such a brilliant little lyric because it obviously fits, it makes sense, we're all the same, it was just brilliant. And right when you did that, he's like, I love that.
Yeah, that was a great, ending to that tune.
It was good stuff. All right, so when we wrap up, we like to go around and talk movies. So if you can narrow it down, doesn't have to be live or die.
Which could technically take another hour.
Right. Doesn't have to be live or die. And but give me your top three movies if you had to narrow it down.
Shawshank Redemption.
Okay. That's three or four for Shawshank.
Probably Fight Club.
Oh,
that's my wife.
Okay.
What can I say? Godfather is pretty good. I'll go with those.
All right, so that's a good one. Now, hold on. So, Fight Club, were you familiar with the novel beforehand?
Or no, did you just... It came out in 1999. I was like, 12, 13
Holy
years old.
Holy shit. Davison, I saw that shit in the theater in Florida.
Yeah, but that still had a sixth sense moment for me, that movie. I didn't know that shit. I didn't know anything until the end.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
And then watching it again and again, you pick more things up. It's wild.
As a matter of fact,
yes.
It's cool.
Because I didn't read the book either.
Yeah, no.
I did since then, but before
it. Chuck Palahniuk? That's a dude's name.
Chuck is right.
He wrote something else.
Yeah. But that ending, man, like, that fucked me up. Like, in real time, I'm like, wait a second. What?
Yeah,
so that was one of those repeat viewing. Yeah, much like Sixth Sense, a little bit different, but same kind of rug pull style.
Mm-hmm.
And Godfather, do you go one, two, either
well,
or?
Well, I think they go, like, the first one's the best, and then the second one's second best, and then the third one is, like, you watch it because, you gotta see how it's all tied up.
Well, actually, the last guy that was in here, Mr. John, I go to bat for, part one and two are the masterpieces, but part three, in my opinion, gets a smidge of a bum rap. I mean, I get it. I don't think Sofia Coppola is a good actress. She's a great filmmaker.
But
the story was good. Mm-hmm. I mean, the whole Vatican, like, all that kind of corruption and bullshit is based on real shit. Mm-hmm. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, good pull, man.
Thanks, man.
Good pull. All right, Miss Lisa, what do you think?
My favorite movie of all time is Death Proof.
Wow, look at you. What a strange pull for the favorite of all time.
Yeah, like without a doubt, that's my favorite movie of all time. My second favorite is Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
That's my favorite. Yeah,
I saw that movie three times in one day.
In one day.
The Western Theater, and I saw it seven times, and all by myself. Like, I was single back then. I would just go see that movie.
I'm just a I love Jim Carrey also. I love him in a serious role.
It's the movie that made me fall in love with Kate Winslet too.
Yeah.
Not even Titanic.
No, I was saying not Titanic.
Well, kind of, but then I saw that. If we have two boys, like if one of them would have been a girl, she would 100% have been named Clementine.
And then my third one is hopefully you can help me with the name of this movie. That drum movie where Whiplash.
I'm so old, I'll bring you the Blu-ray.
My honorary fourth is that maybe you can remember the name of this, the movie with the drummer that goes deaf.
Sound of Metal.
Yeah, that's good. I love that movie.
Yeah, we watched that at Josh's house.
That's the dude from Rogue One.
Honorable mention. Yeah, he was in Rogue One.
Yeah, that's a great one. Now, the first one you said was, what was the first
Death
one?
Death Proof.
Okay, so what about that? Like, did you like both? Like, that was the Grindhouse. It was Death Proof and Planet Terror.
And Planet Terror. Right. I loved both of them.
Me too.
Death Proof was the one with Kurt Russell.
You had to understand what they were going for.
And but, I saw that in theaters. I saw the double feature.
That's fun.
In theaters. That was the first time in my life I'd ever seen, like, a double feature.
Wow. I didn't see it in theater. Yeah, that's fun.
So that was
fun.
Very cool. And, I mean,
and
I
they had the Ron commercials in between and stuff like that.
All the commercials. It was really special. Yeah. But Death Proof really hit for me. I mean, I love character assassination.
Yeah.
Like, I just love that. Build it up. Make me fall in love with you.
And how
I
about
also,
the woman stunt?
Right?
That lady, man. I mean, God.
It's cool that it's like, you know, there's like female victims in the beginning, but then like the women are the ones that are just absolutely empowered badasses. Kurt Russell is one of my favorite actors.
Oh, 100%,
I love him.
100%.
But yeah, that whole film is just immaculate.
All right, so I see your style. I dig it.
Yeah.
All right, Mr. Jack, you're up.
Well, Star Wars is in its own category.
Thank God.
No, that can be.
Someone had to say it.
Would you put one at the top? Because Empire's always been my favorite until Rogue One came out.
Yeah.
Rogue One kind of took
over. I don't
know
if I can put one at the top. I really love The Phantom Menace, but that's because I saw it in theaters as a kid. And it was
This is a phenomenon. This is a phenomenon. And let me tell you.
I love it, but I saw it on the heaviest liquid acid.
We're in Florida, and this was so fucking whacked. You lasted, though. Who left? Somebody had...
Danon ended up in the fucking wild. He thought he was in Naboo. He called the next day for the payphone. Like, he slept in the woods.
Right. But let me tell you, it's kind of
Gungan,
a phenomenon.
When Jar Jar was, like, on trial, like... Because we were in, like, the theater, like, the stadium seating. Like, I was on that council.
It was so awesome.
But what's funny, but I've always had a special place in my heart.
But what's funny about that is you're not crazy younger, but like a lot of the younger cats, it seems their passion for Star Wars is Phantom, Attack of the Clones, and Sith.
The soundtrack for Phantom Menace was probably like one of the best. I mean, Duel of Fates.
It was just
my heart was pounding. I was like 10. I'm like,
Oh
my God.
Yeah. Two of my favorite characters are Darth Maul and the Predator, which is why I made that.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, do you see?
That was so sick.
That's my favorite creation.
We played a May the 4th show.
Oh, that Rowdy Rooster.
Rowdy Rooster Festival, and we did Duel of the Fates.
Wow, that's fun.
Yeah.
Really?
Is there
a recording of that?
I have it.
I hear that.
We did Cantina song too.
I was just gonna say,
we worked Cantina song in
You
the
didn't
Lost
do Yum Bro.
Hmm? Oh, the Ewok. No. Have you ever heard of a band called Lawrence the Band?
Yeah.
So they do Psy Snoodle, like a version of the song from Jabba's Palace.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so good.
The like, Return of the Jedi, right?
Yes,
right.
But it's like funk. And she sings it, like, whatever language.
She learned the language?
Psy Snoodles. Sing it. She opens up the song with it. Nice. They're a great band.
Right.
They're awesome. a great funk jam band.
So, okay, wait, so did you give us three? You
said we got sidetracked on Star Wars.
Fight Club, for sure.
I
could quote that movie, like, verbatim, probably. Fear and Loathing and...
one of the greats.
Fear and Loathing.
What's another one? I feel like my favorite movies are ones I can just watch all the time, right? There was another one.
Comfort food, any kind of, you know...
Did you ever see The Little Buddha with...
The Little Buddha.
Keanu Reeves. Where he's the Buddha.
No, but I know about it.
That movie's awesome.
Is it?
It's kind of funny if you watch it, but when I watched it, I was like, this is awesome.
That's so funny. That's one of those ones that I remember. I mean, did that come out in the late 90s or 2000s?
Yeah.
I mean, it was something like, I want to say we were in Florida, but Keanu Reeves and Buddha, even though I dig it, like I love Point Break and I love Keanu Reeves, I just never looked into it.
Yeah, and then like, Denny did know. The Matrix, like after that, I think.
So maybe he was on a philosophical run.
1993. Little Buddha.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, Keanu Reeves.
I didn't realize it was from that long ago.
Bridge of Fonda.
Wow.
I've never seen it.
I thought it was like 99.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, no, I've never seen it either, but I never heard. Movie. You're the first person I've ever heard recommend it. That's awesome.
Watch it with a joint.
You're the first person I've ever heard mention it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm a video store guy. But
right.
So Fear and Loathing. Yeah. Was that your first venture into Hunter Thompson? Or
Yep, and then I read the book and everything, and my buddy from California told me about it, and I was like, this is awesome. Mm.
And if you dug that movie, Terry Gilliam directed that. Have you looked into any of his other films?
What are his other films?
Well, so he made 12 Monkeys.
I love 12 Monkeys. Right.
Time Bandits.
Time Bandits. Yeah. It's an early 80s movie.
That's an old movie.
But one of the ones, if you dug 12 Monkeys and you dig that style, Brazil.
Oh, Brazil. It's that's from Robert De Niro.
84, yeah. I think. But it is out there. And it's great. And it's a Terry Gilliam masterpiece.
Cool, Brazil. I'll check it out.
Yeah. Look into the director's cut. There's two cuts, and it was a very famous story. Like, the first cut of Brazil was the studio cut. He hated it. And many years later, they released the director's cut. And I think it's very available. Like, I don't think it's any, like... You know, like it'll be streaming right alongside, but look for the director's cut of Brazil.
Okay.
And, you know, if you want, you know, to do shit. Okay, Miss Shelby, what do you got?
Well, my favorite of all time has got to be The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Wow, nice.
Just because it used to scare the crap out of me as a kid.
Sure.
We watch it every Christmas Eve at my great great aunt's creepy basement down in Highlandtown.
And what scared you, the monkeys?
Well, my older cousin told me about the whole Munchkin thing.
Right.
Oh.
So we'd sit there and like try and find it.
Right.
Right.
And I'd just be shaking.
Are you talking about the hanging Munchkin?
Yeah.
Now, do you know that that's been disproven?
Yes.
Right.
Oh,
still makes it creepy.
Yes.
It's definitely creepy and it's definitely weird. Oh, yeah. But I think we've talked about it on the show.
I think so. Yeah.
But it's funny because everybody that talks about Wizard of Oz ends up bringing up the poor Munchkin allegedly killing himself.
The Dark Side of the Moon.
Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah.
Dude, is that not? Yeah. I mean, let's hover there. Let me just tell you something. So we're old as fuck, right? Well, we're not. Wheel is old as fuck. We're pretty old. In the 90s, we heard that you could, on the third Lion's Roar of the VHS tape, you know, push play on the CD player and it'll line up perfectly with Dark Side of the Moon. And then, so for many years we do that, we're on acid, we're all like, this is the most amazing thing ever. And then 20 years later, they totally deny it. Like, they're like, I don't buy it. Don't buy it.
It's so perfect.
It's too right. And they have to be fucking
They
with
didn't
us.
Deny it. Roger Waters just said no. And he didn't say it like with...
Well, that makes me feel a little bit better if it was only Waters.
Yeah, he just said no. Because and he kind of was very vague about it, too. He was like, "What? Are you crazy? Like, how? That would be impressive."
I feel like Waters I don't know. Like, you know, I have conflict. I love Roger Waters, but
I just love to believe that they did.
He's such a dick, and you know, it's like
a little unhinged
because of him. The you know, it's like I get it. You don't want the fame, but you know, I don't know. Waters, I think he's brilliant, but he's also a bit of a dick. It bothers me.
Well.
But who the hell am I? All right, yeah. Back to Miss Shelby. What we talk Wizard of Oz.
Judy Garland, just the best. I love her. Also, the other film, A Star Is Born. Oh, like Lady Gaga did the most recent one, but that was like the fourth one. But Judy Garland's one is my favorite.
Judy Garland's your favorite.
The original.
She's my
Star
favorite
is
female
born.
Singer. That's the second one with Judy.
Oh,
so yeah. Do you dig the Kris Kristofferson one with Barbara Streisand?
Know that.
I haven't seen that one.
That might be the third one, because that's the one before.
And I like the Lady Gaga one. That one was good.
I thought it was nice. Yeah, it was.
Out of the ones I've seen, is my favorite. I saw the first one. I forgot the main actress in that one.
So why Judy Garland?
She can just belt like nothing. Like
her voice is the most.
She's my favorite female singer. She's just.
Oh really?
Fantastic.
That's so John Crockett, the guy I was telling you about that we had in here last week, the guy that makes drumsticks.
Yeah.
Like his resume is insane. And one of the women that he played with at the Civic Center of Baltimore was Judy Garland.
Oh, that's so cool.
But it was when she was like kind of a mess. So she was like laying down on the stage and people like he just said it was clear as day. Just somebody booed and she just like looked at him with the mic and was like, oh, I know.
He said that her head was right beside him. He was drumming, and he said her head was right beside him, and he heard somebody boo, and he said she looked up and went, I know.
She's hilarious.
But yeah. But
So Star is Born, Star Wizard is born. Of Oz.
Oh, Star is Born, the Judy Garland. Star is Born off the list. I'd say Nightmare Before Christmas. I definitely wore out a few of those tapes as a kid. Davis like special. Two or three of them died on me. And then you get, you know, with Tim Burton, like Pee-wee, love that.
Love Tim Burton.
Beetlejuice, like Danny Elfman's one of my favorite. Just
The Darkened Theater.
Did you just say Pee-wee?
Yeah.
So I just heard you said you saw the documentary.
I saw like three quarters of it,
Everybody just found out along with me that Cyndi Lauper sang the theme song. Like, that just came out. She just, like, disclosed that in her autobiography or something.
The theme song to
Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah, somebody just told me. Maybe you just told me that. But yeah, I never heard of it.
And what about
my third is Death Proof? Because she showed it to me the whole time I'm watching. I'm like,
yeah, I was like, you want to see my favorite movie ever of all time? And she was like, this is now my favorite movie ever of all time.
So good. Thank you daily.
You always make us watch Hairspray. And
I love Hairspray.
Yeah. The original?
Both.
Anything.
I watched Perry Hall. So
the one with John Travolta is also great.
It is great. Yeah. That's why I said both are great. You know, we're good. One of our dream white whales is John Waters. Yeah. Like, we've got a couple.
We're very
lines.
Close to getting him in here. Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a good
secure
talk.
That. Yeah.
It would be a great talk. All right, so.
That was awesome.
You got anything else, or?
What, movie wise?
Yeah.
No. All right. No. Everybody knows our favorites, and they always change anyway.
Miss Shelby, you gave me three, right?
Yes, sir.
It was Wizard of Oz, Nightmare Before Christmas, and Death Proof. Star is Born, Judy Garland from the list.
Yes. Nice. All right, well, this was great.
So let's talk about where to find you guys.
Oh, well.
Like online, social media, plug yourself.
We got Instagram at Feather and Flask Music, and then we're on Facebook. You should join our Facebook group, Feather and Flask and Friends. We put like all the open mic night stuff in there.
Nice.
And other cool gigs.
We can add all that stuff to our calendar also.
Yep. We're on SoundCloud, Spotify, and all the other streaming platforms. And
we have a YouTube channel too.
Oh, yeah,
Feather and Flask, I think.
Yeah.
We got a YouTube channel. And what was the other thing I want to say? I can't remember.
Chad, you got anything you want to say?
I think
upcoming shows.
Yeah.
I guess. Upcoming shows after June 10th.
What do we have,
after
guys?
After June 10th, we have a Double Groove Brewing.
The 28th, I want to say.
Yes.
June
28th.
Saturday.
June 28th.
Yeah, it's always a good time. Good crowd.
I think that's is that when we're going to be at the beach for you.
It is the 28th. You're trying to switch it.
Oh, yeah, we have tickets to see Goose at Madison Square Garden.
Damn! Look at you,
man. It's been so long since I've seen a band indoors.
It's been a minute.
And
it's
and in fact, you know what I think it was? I think it was Fish Hampton. At Hampton.
Oh yeah. Wow.
That was 2018.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen a band indoors since then.
Wow.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, 6/28, I play Fagers.
Yeah, so that will be that we're sucks. All gonna be at the beach.
I would I'll get there though.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
One day.
Yeah, you guys play at Elkton Music Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Stages.
Yeah. Yep. We did.
What about album? Do you guys?
We're working on an album right now. Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Hopefully that'll be done sometime this year.
Yeah. It better.
I hope so.
Good Lord.
Do you know how many songs?
I think it's gonna be 10 or 11.
Nine.
Nice. I'm assuming we've heard some of them.
Yes.
Yes. Actually, Wither Away, which we played today, will not be on the album. It'll be on the next one.
But nice. Light On will be, and Electric Blue and Welcome Home, they're all on there.
Nice.
Yeah, it's great stuff, man. I love your guys' vibe, and just keep doing it.
And remember to review us wherever you're listening to this show.
Yeah.
Review and go to their websites and go to anywhere they're located and review them. But review, comment, share.
Like, share subscribe, their
stuff,
share.
Share engage. Our stuff, share everything. Engage, engage, engage.
Yeah, man. Let's do it. All right. Stay sane, Baltimore.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Awesome. Good stuff.
This one's called Light On.
This pain is necessary. Hurt and set me free. Forever only exists separate.
same. We're all the same. We're all the same. We're all the same. We're all insane.
Thanks for listening, Baltimore. You can find us at www.sanitylounge.com or on Instagram at sanity.lounge.
Keep listening and subscribe.
Stay sane, Baltimore.